This is Evangelist Timothy Gruber here at the Word of the King, a Holiness of Bibles for the Blind.
Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse 4 tells us that where the Word of the King is, there is power. We may say unto him, what doest thou?
On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was slain. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. To the old rugged cross I will ever be true. It's shame and reproach gladly bear. Then he'll call me someday to my home far away, where his glory forever I'll share. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange for a crown.
Read verses 1 through 6, Psalm 9. So the message is going to be all primarily of verse 6. Psalm 9, verses 1 through 6. I will praise thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. I'll shoot forth all thy marvelous works. I will be glad and rejoice in thee. I will sing praise to thy name, O thou most high. When mine enemies are turned back, they shall fall and perish in thy presence. Thou hast maintained my right and my cause. Thou sattest in the throne, judging right. Thou hast rebuked the heathen. Thou hast destroyed the wicked. Thou hast put out their name forever and ever. O thou enemy, destructions are come, their perpetual end. Thou hast destroyed cities. Their memorial is perished with them. We'll read verse 7 as well. But the Lord shall endure forever. And prepare his throne for judgment. O thou enemy, destructions are come to a perpetual end. Verse 6, this one brother said to me that he was struggling with the phrase perpetual end in the context of that. O thou enemy, destructions are come to a perpetual end. And I consider, ultimately, the ultimate enemy, wicked one himself, serpent, devil, who comes to kill, steal, and destroy. According to the words of the Lord Jesus, St. John 10. Even as the enemy cometh not to kill, steal, and destroy, told in verse 6, destructions will come to a perpetual end, as the psalmist addresses, under inspiration of God, his enemy. And the destructions of our enemy, who is the devil, will surely come to a perpetual end, as he himself shall come to a perpetual end. That lake of fire, as is written in Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20. Verse 10, and the devil who deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. Reminded of the words of the psalmist in Psalm 91, where under inspiration he writes the very words of God, which declare, only with thine own eyes shalt thou behold, and see the reward of the wicked. With thine own eyes thou shalt behold and see the reward of the wicked. Even as we are dwelling in the secret place, the Most High in Christ, because we're abiding under the shadow of the Almighty, and as we're abiding in the Almighty Christ, Jesus. Yeah. So with our own eyes we shall behold the reward of the wicked one, our enemy, when he is cast into that lake of fire forever. His destruction shall come to a perpetual end. Told in 1 Corinthians 15, the last enemy that should be destroyed, it's death. And so, Revelation 20, 14, 15, the death and hell were cast into the lake of fire, second death. And ultimately, we think of death being destroyed in the context as pertains to our glorious resurrection. It's spoken in 1 Corinthians 15. Lord, I see a mystery we shall not all see, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. This mortal must put on immortality. This corruptible must put on incorruption. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory?
Yeah, man.
For thou enemy destructions are come to a perpetual end, and thou hast destroyed cities. Thou hast destroyed cities. The memorial was perished with them. You know, you think of how there's these memorials, the Nobel Peace Prize, given to these wicked sinners. Why, even this current president, Barack Hussein Obama, that Muslim himself, got a Nobel Peace Prize after he was elected in 2009. Whatever the memorial of the wicked may be in this life, the memorial shall perish with them.
Yeah.
As it is written in verse 5, the Lord himself, thou hast rebuked the heathen, and thou hast destroyed the wicked, thou hast put out their name forever and ever. You think of all the rich elite, this world, the Rockefellers, the Rothschilds, the Bilderbergs, they go on and on. Whatever remembrance there may be of them, this life, surely, immemorial, surely to perish with them, when they, as children of the devil, are cast into that lake of fire with their father himself.
Come on.
Who? Thou enemy, destructions are come to perpetual end. Thou hast destroyed cities. The memorial is perished with them. Thou hast destroyed cities. devil themselves. Madness is in their heart while they live, we're told, with these gases. And after that, they go to the dead. Because sentence against evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the hearts of the sons of men. It's fully set in them to do evil. And yet, even as the Lord endures forever, prepared his throne for judgment. For it is written, Revelation 20, verse 11, 15, and I saw a great white throne and the sat on it, whose face the earth, and heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. The dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works.
Yeah.
See, you know, the dead, which were dead, not the dead which were in them, they were judged, every man according to their works. Death and hell were cast to the lake of fire. This is the second death. Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast to the lake of fire. Let me think. A memorial. Think of remembrance. A memorial is for the purpose of remembrance. And yet, when it comes, two, things of this present evil world, with the Lamb, which is in our midst, has been redeemed, shall feed us and shall lead us into living fountains of waters, wipe away all tears from our eyes. Revelation 7, verse 17. We know that God's word declares later on in Revelation, there will be no remembrance of the former things. And we know that God's mercy endureth forever. And therefore, as his mercy endures forever, we can look forward to being with him forevermore. And praise him with our whole heart. Shooting forth all of his marvelous works to all eternity, being glad and rejoicing in him. So you can praise his name as our most high God when our enemies have officially been turned back. They have fallen in his presence, as it is written. Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. This might be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of his servant, and was made in the likeness of men, being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Before God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that the name of Jesus and me should bow things in heaven and things in earth, things under the earth. And every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord.
Yeah, will.
Lord of God the Father. One note that I would make here real quick. Verse 7 of Philippians 2, but made himself of no reputation. Jesus Christ made himself of no reputation. As was pointed out recently, ambition can be a wicked thing in the ministry. There's a big difference between ambition and Holy Ghost zeal.
Amen.
Ambition, which is all too often flesh, is that desire, that zeal that desires to get praise from men. The Holy Ghost zeal will always caused one to make him or herself no reputation in the ministry. Something very important to remember there.
Come on! Circle field hit that again.
Yeah, Christ made himself no reputation. Ambition can be a very wicked thing in the ministry. The big difference between ambition and Holy Ghost zeal. Ambition is all too often fleshy, and is that zeal desires to receive praise of men, whereas Holy Ghost zeal will always make oneself no reputation as Christ himself.
Now we're talking. Go on, Bridget.
For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ. It's not only to believe on him, but also suffer for his sake. You call yourself a Christian, you say you believe on Christ. Have you shown yourself willing to suffer for his name's sake?
Ouch, come on.
Have you shown yourself willing to take up your cross to follow him? Have you shown yourself willing to renew your mind daily? To present yourself a living sacrifice? Holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Revelation 21:8, fearful, and the unbelieving, and the abominable, and murderers, fornicators, sorcerers, and idolaters, all liars swam their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 7. For 10, and fear or trouble rest with us, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, flaming fire takes vengeance on them that are not God, and obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ,
yeah,
shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord to the glory of his power, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints and be admired in all that believe, because our testimony above you was believed that day. The gospel, the good news, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. With the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Romans 10, 9, and 10. So Christ is with us to bear the sins of many, and other than look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. And after this appointed the men once you die, but after this the judgment. Hebrews chapter 9, verses 27 and 28. By grace you saved through faith, that not of yourself, it is the gift of God, not of works. Any man should boast. Tell you David, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Repent ye. Repent towards God. And put your faith in and toward the Lord Jesus Christ, him alone. You have yet to truly believe on his name, to trust him alone for forgiveness of sins, to be reconciled with God as your creator. God longs to have a personal relationship with you, but that relationship will only come by faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. For the just shall live by faith, the Word of God declares. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The Word of God declares. First Timothy chapter 1, verse 8 through 10. And we know that the law is good if a man uses it lawfully. Knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless, disobedient, for the ungodly, and for sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers, and murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for men stealers, for liars, for perjured persons, and if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine. Verse 11, according to the glorious gospel, the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. Verse 52, 5, 6, for there is one God, one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all, be testified in due time. Receive the Lord Jesus Christ today, if you have yet to receive him by faith, and be reconciled to God. You have yet to see the Spirit of Christ in you by faith, your body being made a temple of the Holy Ghost. Today, by God's grace, can be the day We all doubt, except today is the day salvation. Surely as you believe on him, you'll never be the same. For it is written, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. God hath made him, Jesus Christ, to be sin for us. We do know sin. We look at being the righteousness of God in him. And this, my friend, is life eternal. To know the one true God, Jesus Christ, that we have sent.
Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee.
Of the law are under the curse, for cursed be everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them, we're told in the book of Galatians, all but here it is. But God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Repent ye and believe the gospel. that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, shall cleanse you from all sin, for if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, menial, mortal, sin, whatever you call it, all unrighteousness. God is faithful to forgive those who confess their sins to him through faith in Jesus Christ, his death, burial, and resurrection alone. By grace he is saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works. Call upon the Lord today. This is Evangelist Timothy Gruber. Till next time, God bless you and yours.